Hello, it's Friday 14th of August. I'm Hannah Pearson from Per Anderson.
And I'm Gary Bauman from Check In Asia.
And this is episode 3 of the Friday Rewind.
Hello, wherever you are in the world, and thanks for listening in to the third instalment of the Friday Rewind show.
Over the next 15 minutes, we'll zoom through 5 big talking points in Southeast Asian travel from the past 7 days. So, what's first on the menu, Gary?
I think there's only one big story that we have to start with this week, Hannah, and that's the land of COVID.
Yeah, the land of COVID. That made us smile.
It made us smile. What a diplomatic issue this has become. It's how the virus is actually starting to turn countries against each other. We have about 3 or 4 cases to talk about. Yeah. But first of all, primarily, this started with Thailand and Philippines.
It did, yes. So it was published in a newspaper called Thai Rath, and they were talking about how these Filipino teachers were coming back into Bangkok. You know, Thailand is allowing more private school teachers to return, and it called Philippines the land of COVID. And this just developed, didn't it, into a bit of a diplomatic hoo-ha with, you know, the embassy in Bangkok arguing against that. And even it's got to the level of, you know, presidential spokesperson even, who is claiming that, you know, Thailanders said this kind of thing because of a fierce competition between the two of them, right? That they're both competing for tourism. They said, you know, Thailand is struggling to invite people to come and visit the country again. They're worse off than us because they've got a bigger tourism industry. Oh, and he also said, they're not really allowed free speech there, so that's why they want to really freely criticize us. Which I thought was maybe a little bit rich coming from the Philippines, but it really shows how these kind of things can just...
And it also shows really how media headlines can really inflame the situation. It's a pretty inflammatory headline. When you translated into English, it says, imported Filipino teachers, land of COVID-19. Now, that is a pretty inflammatory headline. I think that's pretty irresponsible, to move my words. And the consul general, the Philippine consul general, wrote an open letter, which he published, and he also sent it to the editor of the newspaper. And he used diplomatic language, but he did say that the headline was inappropriate, insensitive, and unhelpful.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, this was kind of coming hot on the heels of ASEAN Day. It was ASEAN Day last weekend. You know, you'd think that there'd be greater unity between nations, but perhaps not, because we also had another case, didn't we?
Yeah, so the next case is between the Philippines and Indonesia. Now, the Philippines is trading barbs about the fact that, you know, it overtook Indonesia in terms of cumulative cases.
Yes.
I think it now has about 147,500 cases, Indonesia about 133,000. Yeah. But there was that point, I think, about a week ago where it actually overtook.
Yes.
Indonesia, which has had the most number of cases in Southeast Asia for a couple of months at least. But the argument from the Philippines side, and this is the spokesperson for the president, is that the reason that they have more announced cases because they're just testing more, which may be true. But his words again are quite inflammatory. So because we test more, it's not true that we have more cases than Indonesia. The Indonesians just don't know just exactly how many who are sick out there. At least we do. This is trading barbs between countries.
And then we've got Indonesia versus the world, right? And then their Minister for Maritime Affairs came out earlier. And of course, I think a lot of people have been talking about Indonesia, particularly because they are saying... they were saying that they want to open up Bali. So a lot of countries and media have been questioning, you know, is this the right decision for Indonesia? You know, they've got so many cases.
And not just that, how will it make it work?
Well, that's the logistics of it. The minister there said, no one can claim that they are better than others. And he said, look at Singapore and look at America. It's just funny, isn't
it? In those two cases, particularly the Philippines and Indonesia, I think you're really seeing just how under pressure those governments are. Indonesia especially. Because there is a bit of unrest there. People aren't, the confidence in the government is evaporating at the moment. Whereas before it had quite a positive approval rating.
Yeah.
It's just showing how this virus is opening up new fault lines that, you know, are difficult to contain.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, that lashing out at other countries is as we're seeing around the world, is a response to not being able to handle it in your own country.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just not going to help, you know, diplomacy when you're looking to reopen those countries to tourism either, are you?
No,
I can't see Thailand and Philippines rushing to open up borders to one another.
No, no. And the issue with all of those three cases that we mentioned there is they go viral very quickly. So yes. this just takes off around the world, around the internet, around the news spheres, which brings us to our second theme, which is zero tourism until 2021 in Thailand. How did that come about, Hannah?
So the deputy governor for the TAT, the Tourism Authority of Thailand, was on a webinar last week. And basically he was being asked questions about whether Thailand is likely to open up again. And he was talking about the government being very, very cautious, the government taking a kind of wait and see approach to travel bubbles. And what's really amazing, it's probably not this story in itself. We've seen this on-off approach from Thailand. But I think the really interesting thing, like you said, is just the speed that this went viral. I mean, I've even seen this reported in the Daily Mail in the UK yesterday.
Yeah, the Dakar Tribune. It was reported in Sydney. It was reported in New York. This has gone viral.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, this could have just been an offhand remark made in a webinar.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not necessarily an official statement.
Yeah, that's a very good point. But it's got to the point where officials can't say anything because it's just going to go viral. And I wrote about this on social media the other day.
Yes, you did.
And one of the reasons for that is, you know, Thailand was one of the most visited countries on earth last year.
Yeah.
And so there is this sort of opinion around the world, in the media in particular, well, if it can happen there, and they're taking this very, very cautious approach, which they have not denied that. They've openly stated that.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's then just used as, well, tourism can't happen until 2021. He didn't specifically say that.
No.
Well, he said it looks unlikely at the moment.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
But this is such a dynamic situation. Yeah. He also did warn, and he realized that it's going to hit the high season in Thailand over the Christmas period.
He did,
and he did say this looking a little bit worrying up to Chinese New Year also, which is another huge period for Thailand tourism.
Yeah.
So he did actually say some things that were on the record, and they were pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
But then it just gets turned around as, well, there'll be no tourism until 2021 as a sort of standard phrase when he was trying to be a bit more nuanced, I think.
Yeah, exactly. And then the risk of this, of course, is that travel partners in other countries, so let's say in the UK, and they pick up a copy of the Daily Mail and they see that headline, there's going to be no tourism to Thailand in 2020. And then they say, well, do you know what? Let's just write it off. I'm going to focus on a different destination. I'm going to focus on the Maldives for Christmas, because I think that's going to open up. To UK tourists really open.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've had a similar case with Australia. You know, there's been a mention, Australia was one of the countries that Indonesia is trying to do a travel bubble with for reopening of Bali.
Yeah.
Now, again, the minister that said this mentioned a few countries. He also mentioned China, South Korea, and Japan.
Yes.
And it's clearly those negotiations are happening, but you know, there's nothing confirmed yet. But that has been reported. Australians could be going back to Bali sooner than we expected. And, well, you know, I think the media has to be a bit more responsible than that.
Yeah, yeah, agreed. And I think that, again, leads pretty nicely to our next story, which is a minister, for once, I would say, being a little bit realistic. So this is the Malaysian tourism minister, who actually said there's no point looking at countries who are green zones if they won't open up borders. Which is, for once, being a little bit sensible, because exactly we've got countries like Indonesia saying they're going to open up, you know, they're looking to open up travel bubbles with Australia. But, you know, we've seen that Australia is not likely to do that. So it's almost kind of wasting time to think about that. I think this is a new realism from, you know, tourism ministers, that they have to focus on those countries who are actually willing to open up and are open to opening up.
Yeah, yeah. And to be fair to the Malaysian Tourism, Arts and Culture Minister, Nancy Shukri, she did say, and she cited Australia and New Zealand as the case, so obviously the countries they would like to do a bubble with. And she said that there has become a realisation with what's happening in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Is, you know, if you look at what's actually happening in Australia, the inter-regional travel is, you know, people from Victoria aren't being allowed into other states. So Victoria looks off the record right now.
Yeah.
So you can't just say we're going to open the borders with Australia.
Yeah.
But she did say there may be a chance of opening up between KL and Perth or something like that.
Yeah.
They may be looking into that.
Yeah.
You know, Western Australia has less of a problem at the moment with the virus. But Now, this is all speculative at the moment because this is such a fluid situation, as we've seen in New Zealand this week.
Yeah, absolutely. So, moving to a different area of the world and a different topic. We had an interesting one this week, didn't we, with Myanmar, Gary?
Yeah, Myanmar and Sri Lanka are looking into the possibility of opening up their first direct flights, which, you know, as we've said before on the pod, some parts of our region aren't connected. Yeah. We often assume that they always are. So Myanmar Airways has been in discussions to open flights, we would imagine, between Colombo and Yangon.
Yeah.
These discussions have only just started. But, you know, there is this opportunity to connect two countries that before the pandemic, we're starting to grow as outbound markets, and particularly strong inbound markets.
Yeah.
Diversify the mix of people that can come in and out. Whether this will happen, we don't know. There's also suggestions that perhaps these flights could be created as part of a religious tourism circuit. Mm. So you wouldn't just be flying between Colombo and Yangon, but perhaps Colombo, Yangon, and Bodh Gaya, which is a Buddhist pilgrimage site in Bihar in India.
Mm.
Or perhaps even Colombo, Yangon, Kathmandu in Nepal.
Mm.
So you could create this sort of little circuit of flights. Now, again, I quite like that idea because that's new thinking for a new era.
Yeah.
Whether it will work, we don't know. But, you know, I'd say all of those three destinations probably have slot space at their airports.
Yeah.
They're looking at new markets, looking at a way to bring different tourists in.
Yeah.
That's an opportunity, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we've seen already Myanmar Airways International are pretty ambitious. So they're just a small, relatively small fleet in Myanmar. But they are, I think, one of the few airlines who are actually expecting to receive more aircraft this year.
Right, and Myanmar also does span that sort of Southeast Asia, South Asia crossover, both strategically, geographically, and also in terms of the population. So, looking over there makes sense, I think.
Yeah, and so our last story for the week is more of a positive one. You know, we always like to try and end our Friday Rewind with a positive story. And this is about ecotourism in Laos. This in particular in northern Laos, a place...
I looked up how to say this.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's in the north of Laos. It's the Nam Et Pu Lui National Park, which is the largest protected area in Laos.
Mm.
Covers something like 400,000 hectares.
Wow,
and it crosses over three provinces of the country.
Mm.
Beautiful space. I actually went online to have a look at it.
Nice.
So there's this project that's being managed there by the Wildlife Conservation Society, working with local people to actually start making money from conservation efforts. It's a program that's been going for a number of years, but obviously a lot of the people there, they consume the wildlife because it's, you know, that's the way they live.
Yeah.
So there's these efforts to actually consume and make products and services that enable these people to make money from different means, particularly during the season, the non-agricultural seasons, when they're not doing animal husbandry or whatever.
Yeah.
So this project has been moving on and developing quite well. It's quite a good news story because it's actually enabling people to become self-sustaining, earn more money that they couldn't do otherwise. And it's also obviously helping to preserve parts of the environment, which is so important. That national park is, I didn't realize this, but it's a real haven of wildlife.
Mm.
You know, some really important animals that are endangered across the region. So tigers, bears, I think the Siam crocodile is indigenous to there. Uh-huh. Something like 300 species of birds. But you know, it is a real ecosystem.
Yeah,
and so to be able to preserve it during a time, there was a good article in, I think it was in the Sydney Morning Herald a few days ago, arguing that conservation of the environment, contrary to this belief that it's actually got better during the lockdown, has actually got worse in some areas. So there are these areas that, because there's less patrol, there's less attention on certain areas, that particularly overfishing and some of the coastline damage that's going on has actually intensified during this period. So good news stories about the environment. We're all for those, right?
Definitely. We'll find the link to the Sydney Morning Herald and drop it in the show notes. So that brings us to the end of this week's edition of the Friday Rewind. We'll be back with our usual midweek edition of the podcast next week, and the Friday Rewind will return on the 28th of August.
Yeah, in the meantime, you can catch up with all of our previous episodes on our website, www.theseasiatravelshow.com, or on Spotify and Google Podcasts. Just search for the Southeast Asia Travel Show on either platform. And we're also now on Pocket Casts, Podchaser, and Stitcher.
So that's a wrap for the Friday Rewind. And we look forward to talking Southeast Asian travel and tourism again very soon.
Yeah, bye-bye.